the Nephilim sightings are going to start soon.
Consciousness has been enslaved.
Your consciousness does not need your physical body to survive.
It's the thing that's necessary. It has to be there. It's the coding that projects this world we currently live in.
I said, I want you to read the Bible.
We got reptilians on just outside of our frequency zone.
Six-dimensional beings, the ancient builder race.
Ideas are the highest form of intelligence, and that leads you to truth and clarity.
The Nephilim sightings are going to start soon.
Conspiracy show?
If obviously aliens, our galaxy is insanely huge. We're just one planet.
They would have needed a minimum of 6 feet of lead shielding in order to get through the 25,000-mile-thick Van Allen radiation belt.
This is real. They really did fake the moon landing.
The world is infinitely older than that. And I mean the world with human beings in it.
Skull and Bones is like one of the villains in the Legion of Doom.
I said, I want you to read the Bible.
The Biblical Flood, the Tartaria Mud Flood,
Conspiracy and Chill.
The Nephilim sightings are going to start soon.
The Bulldog Ball.
I said, I want you to read the Bible. There's magnets in the basketballs.
There was a political party, a third party called the Anti-Masonic Party at a point in the United States.
The Global Pandemic Treaty.
Conspiracy and Chill Podcast.
Welcome to another Conspiracy and Chill. I am Mike Strauss, former MMA journalist, former dope fiend, a lifelong truth seeker, and my co-host with the co-mostest is...
Tom, the Headhunter Higgins, martial artist, coach, also lifelong truth seeker. Two truth seekers exposing the keepers.
With deep dives and chill vibes, or with chill dives and deep vibes. Either way.
You already know. You guys need to hit us up, message us, keep those 5 stars going. Like, share, all that good stuff.
Yes, we appreciate all love and support. Like Tom said, we are noticing the 5-star reviews. Keep those up. That is a way to support the show. It doesn't cost anything. And if you do have some money that is just burning a hole in your pocket and you can't figure out what to do with, you can happily help us out for as little as $3 a month, whatever platform you're listening to us on. Click the little support the show. You could do it that way, or you can go to Patreon and you can become one of the very first Conspiracy and Chill Syndicate members. Follow us on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Follow, like, subscribe, do all that good shit. As Tom said, we are trying to build a community. Easiest way to do that is on social media, but if you wanted to shoot us an email, you can do that too. ConspiracyandChill@yahoo.com. Fucking flat earth.
It's weird too to think on the ball earth, like where does it start and reset? Like on this side it might be fucking the 31st and it's like 1 a.m. and then on this side it's like fucking I don't know how big the gap goes, but you know what I'm saying? Then it's all, and on this side it's just next to it, but it's 12:59 or no, it's 12 p.m. you know what I'm saying? Like, because Ireland is like 6 hours ahead of us, and then even more over here that's saying like Asia, they're like 12 hours ahead of us. So then what happens when you get to the very edge? Does it go back to like they're 23 hours ahead of us? So then it's like, what the fuck? Like, that's so weird.
It just resets. Yeah, it is very weird. You know, I've looked into flat earth. You know, I remember Eric Dubé's 200 proofs or whatever. I think it was just 200 proofs. Can't even find that video now, I don't think. You know, I explored it. And at first I was, I don't want to say I was on board, but at first I was really open to it. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized it was just my own personal incredulity. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it basically means that I'm too fucking stupid to understand what's really going on. Like, I believe in my fair share of conspiracies, but I definitely believe we live on a ball, because I don't think that we are the only exception out there. That's one I have a hard time with, you know, like there's things that make me wonder.
I will entertain it, to be honest, because like you, I believe in a lot of wild shit and I'm very skeptical of what we're taught and told. And what you said, I've heard a lot of people say, like, well, how come all the other planets are round and this and that, but ours is the only flat one? But here's the thing that gets me, like, well, how do we even know the other ones are balls? All we have is the fucking pictures from NASA, who fucking faked the moon landing, was started by Nazis, is run by Freemasons. Like, their fucking track record is pretty terrible. So, like, I don't even want to take their fucking word for it with the CGI pictures until I see a fucking pic the planet Mars or, you know, Venus or whatever through a telescope with my eyes, and I could see that it is a literal ball solid structure planet, then I don't know. I can't say one way or the other. And some people think that the planets or like the stars and the heavenly bodies, if you will, aren't solid things that you can land on, that they're more like
projections,
energy, a ball. Yeah. Like a ball out there in space that it like on some astrology shit that it is like an aspect of like reality or consciousness or something in a way. And that's like when we talked to Matt Slapp about Saturn and the elites worshiping Saturn, that it's more so just like a body, like a, I don't even know how to really describe it, like a fixed ball of energy out in space that has its own, you know, attributes and like aspects to it and like symbolism, and like the ancients knew about it, whether they assigned these attributes to those bodies or like, you know, these constellations and these planets and these fucking stars and stuff really do have like an effect on what goes on down here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that would kind of make sense to me, and I can't say one way or the other, just to play in favor of a flat earth. If they didn't go to the moon, and like I said, NASA being Nazi space agency and Freemason space agency doesn't really speak to their credibility. And yeah, I don't know. I wish I had the fucking answer, but I don't.
No doubt, man. I agree with some of what you said, but the thing is, I've seen planets with my own eyes, like with telescopes, with phones, and I've seen them, you could see them rotate. So it's like, I can't touch it. I can't tell you it's solid, but it looks like a ball. It smells like a ball. It acts like a ball, and I can see it rotating. So there's no reason for me to think it's not. You mentioned the ancients. That's why we have these planets have the names they do, because they all correspond to their according to their gods, you know, Mars, Mercury, Venus,
Saturn, Jupiter,
they're all Neptune. They all coordinate to, you know, the ancients' gods. So as far back as we could tell anyway, you know, the planets have always been idolized to a degree. I don't trust NASA's, but I don't know, man. I just have a hard time with the flat earth one. Like, you know, mainly because a lot of the things that these flat earthers say is just either flat out a lie, and they know it, and they're propagating a lie. And it's like, the only reason why you would propagate a lie is because you know you have a weak argument. So it's like, you catch a lot of them doing that. Like, they like to say, no one could go to Antarctica. Well, that's not true. Have you looked into it, or have you just regurgitated that? Because that's not true. You can go to Antarctica. You can go. You will not be killed. You can walk around. You will die, but you can do it. Do I think something weird is going on in Antarctica? Yeah. But I just think that when people tell all these lies, it makes me second guess. You know, I don't know, man. Like you said, I don't fucking have the answers. I don't know. I don't know.
Something else too is when it comes to the Antarctica. So I know a lot of the flat earthers, Earth model considers Antarctica to be a wall of ice surrounding like the known continents that we have. So like, if you think about it on a ball, anytime you go south from like, no matter where you are, say, you know, South America, South Africa, Australia, you know, just start going south from there on a ball. Like, yeah, you're going to hit that ice continent, Antarctica. But if you've like flattened it out, just imagine a ring of ice around every continent, you know, and that's what the flat earthers propose. So then like, if everything is squished flat and you think you're on a ball, so like maybe you're not actually going south if we are on a flat earth, maybe you're going west or north or east if we're just looking at it from above on a flat thing, but you're still hitting that ice and you're just made to think like you're hitting the bottom of a ball, but you're really just hitting ice in all directions surrounding us, like we're in a little like dish or something. And the only reason I would think that that would maybe be a thing and they would try to hide from us is maybe the inner earth, like caverns, like there's entrances in there where you can go to some like a subterranean place, or maybe there is ways like there's like little entrances through those, you know, the outer edge of the ice wall, and past that is like way more continents, and that's where extraterrestrials or giants or Agartha or these other like super advanced fucking civilizations and shit could be coming from. And think about it, like if there was other continents and other lands, like they wouldn't want us to know about it. They'd rather keep us on these ones where they could fucking, you know, keep us controlled and keep us paying taxes and keep us in the matrix and whatever else, instead of being like, you know what, no, fuck that, I'm gonna I'm going to go past the ice wall and we're going to go explore these other crazy continents. Or maybe there's some dangerous ass shit out there, or that's where people have gone after certain resets or cataclysms. I don't know. I'm just going off of what I've seen from other people and speculating, but that shit is interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt, dude. And, you know, just have a balanced perspective on things, you know, play the other side, piggybacking off of what you were saying about like the flat earth map. I absolutely understand how the flat earth map works, and a lot of, I guess you could say, globers, you know, because they call them that, they can't understand how, oh, well, what do you mean? How does it work on a flat? You're going, always going. No, if you understand what they're trying to tell you with the flat earth map, what they're saying, it does make sense. You, like you said, you can be going to the right and technically be going south. And, you know, it's tricky and it's weird and it's nuanced, but their map does work. One of the things that always kind of makes me second guess it again is there the flat earthers' argument with the plane routes. And, you know, some of that is, what's the word? Compelling. Some of that is compelling. I haven't looked into the reasons why. Maybe there's reasons why they take those routes. But, yeah, going back to what you were saying, you know, we had Brooks Agnew on, and he was talking about, you know, inner Earth civilizations and possibly towards the North Pole or the South Pole. There could be, he thinks, most likely that would be where an opening is to where, you know, like you mentioned, maybe some inner Earth civilizations, or if you go beyond that, you know, Agartha or Captain, was it Cook? The one that took the flight?
Admiral Byrd.
Admiral Byrd. He spoke about all that shit. So, I don't know, man. Who the fuck knows what's out there? We can't trust the people that we're supposed to trust, so.
The other thing, too, like, to get back to, like I was saying, NASA's all Freemasons and literal Nazis and shit like that. But, like, if you go far enough back, like, all the stuff to do with our cosmology, whether it's us, you know, rotating around the sun rather than, you know, the Earth being the center of the universe where like everything revolves around the Earth, whether it's the moon and the sun and the constellations and shit, or the Earth literally being round instead of flat, like when they used to think it was flat. Most, if not all, of like the historical, like founding fathers of science, if you want to call them. Those dudes were fucking Masons too, or they were like Jesuit Vatican priests. And I know like the priests used to be like, you know, some of the main people of science and shit, but again, very sketchy organizations known for lying and deceiving and trying to manipulate things behind the scenes for power and control are the ones that are giving us these narratives and changing the belief of the time. Cause like, you know, I've gotten more into Christianity and the Bible and stuff like that as of late, and that cosmology is basically a flat earth, or at least a fixed point that has a firmament around it, and some people speculate that that is like a dome, like we're on a flat thing and there's a dome around it. Some people consider that like the Van Allen radiation belt, even if they are, you know, believing that it's a ball. The thing that I like to laugh at, just because it sounds funny to make fun of, but when you do think about it, it is fucking crazy. But again, I don't know how all the laws of physics and everything of the fucking realm we live in works, but to think that we are on a ball, a water ball that is spinning around, you know, rotating in a circle, at the numbers are crazy too, dude. I think it's 66,600 miles an hour. So 666 right there, miles an hour, even in the thing that they did that. There's a bunch of things that add up to 666. I'll pull it up in a second because I know I have an image of it, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But so we're rotating around in one direction incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. And we are also rotating around the sun at however many millions of miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And then our galaxy is supposedly shooting through space at however many millions of miles per hour. That sounds fucking nutty.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But then the thing that does make me think that would make some sense is you look at like an atom, like at the smallest level of particles, and it's got, you know, little balls fucking shooting around each other and rotating, little particles like spinning around at an insanely fast rate and stuff like that. So who the fuck knows? Maybe the universe and the solar system and the galaxy is just a larger expression of that. Like, so I could see it both ways. I'm sure someone out there who's smarter could tell me what a dumbass I am and debunk it. But like, how are the constellations that the ancients studied and watched and observed still fixed in like the same spots of the sky that we can track throughout thousands of years if we're supposedly, you know, flying through fucking space at however many miles per hour? Shouldn't these stars and bodies that are X amount of light years and millions of fucking miles away, shouldn't they be changing at, you know, from the perspective of our sky? Like, how are we seeing the same exact shit that the ancients saw? Like, I don't know. It just makes sense to me that things would have moved a little bit.
Oh, well, okay. There's a lot of things you want. Yeah, you said I want to touch on. So the Van Allen radiation belt on a flat Earth, I think that could totally work still. Like, let's just say we were on a flat Earth, there was a firmament. Why couldn't there be a radiation belt, you know, a radiation dome under the firmament? Right. So there's no reason to me to think why that couldn't work on a flat Earth. What else did you say, too, that I wanted to... what was the last thing you just
said? I said the spinning around at all these directions.
Okay, yeah, so that's another thing. Like, that's another thing at first, like, when you have the people say, okay, we're going, we're the Earth's rotating at 67,000 miles a second, and we're being pulled in this direction at a billion miles an hour, and then we're orbiting around the sun at another trillion, and then we're being shot in space towards another, you know, these numbers are crazy and perplexing, and it makes you be like, it makes you initially think it's impossible. However, you have to realize the size of these things we're talking about, we can't fathom the size of these things. So, again, I think that's mostly my credulity, but at first, you're right. Those numbers sound, it's impossible. It sounds ridiculous. It can't work, but I don't think that's the case. And what's the last thing you just said?
That the constellations, yes, like the way the ancients saw them versus how we see them, and shouldn't they be different?
So they are,
or like completely gone?
Well, they are different because if you look at like when they built the pyramids, they're shifted off. You know, we can tell when those were built what constellations they lined up with. And as far as like, okay, when did our ancients live? We think they, you know, you're talking about 3,000 years, right? Okay. Earth's been around for billions. So it's like, how much do you think it moved in those 3,000 years?
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
Probably not much, right? Just a little bit, like, pretty much what we can document. Like, so, yeah, so it's like, I don't know, man. You know, I go back and forth. I go both ways on it. You know, there's such good evidence for all these different scenarios, and I'm so stupid that it's like, depending on my mood and how entertaining the documentary that I'm watching is, I'm all in. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, today I could be like, fuck, dude, Jesus was real. I mean, oh my God, I was wrong. And then tomorrow you could fucking show me some fucking satanic thing and I'd be like, okay, fuck what I said yesterday, dude. This is the real shit. You know, so it totally, you know, I'm stupid.
I think that just comes with the territory of, you know, being open-minded and subject to change. You're constantly like second guessing and questioning and, oh no, maybe I had it wrong, or like, you know, am I right about this or that, even when it comes to faith and religion and shit. But I mean, I'm pretty fixed on the Jesus in a way now. Like, I feel like that is one of the fucking the truth, the Jesus conspiracy, if you will, like that, you know, there's all this fucking evil and, you know, demonic debauchery that's very, very obvious to people like us in this world. And like, that seems to be the common enemy of the evil people, or like when sleep paralysis people or alien abduction people claim that they just, you know, end their encounter by fucking mentioning the name of Jesus. That's like,
really?
Oh shit. Like the, yeah. Like I've that's a very common thing. Yeah, man. Wow. Like that was honestly a big factor in me coming around to it, was holy shit. Like,
really?
So he really does have some authority in the spirit realm or the astral realm or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Abductees or sleep paralysis victims.
But you know what? What if these aliens are really big, Big Lebowski fans, and they fear the Jesus? Do you remember the movie that he actually had his own spinoff movie called Jesus, the Jesus? You remember? Fucking John Turturro played. He was with the ball as the fucking Jesus.
It's better than the Signs fear, where they're afraid of fucking water, or water kills them.
Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan.
That is nuts, though, isn't it? That all these people have reported they're in these, you know.
I have to look into that. That's incredible.
It's fucking nuts, dude. That was a big factor for me. Like, well, shit. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does that make these aliens? What does that say about the fucking spirit realm? That, like, even this dude, you know, the Phil Schneider story? Yeah. Like, Phil, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe it was Phil Schneider. It might have been another guy who had a very similar, you know, like, fantastic story that was like really hard to.
It's another
like,
guy, they suicide.
This guy just dropped some crazy shit. Yeah. But I think Bill Schneider said when you were around the underground bases or like if you were around these entities, I don't want to misquote if it wasn't Phil, but like I'm saying, it was someone who claimed to have been around underground bases where there was ETs, or maybe he was directly around ETs or something. And you couldn't even say like, oh, Jesus Christ. It's like a swear because these entities or like the government who was working with the entities, like made it a rule. Like, don't say that around them. Like, wow. They don't like that. Like, yeah. So like, if you were like alarmed or something, you're like, oh, Jesus or something, that they would like react to it.
Wow. Hold on a second. So first off, the Phil Schneider story is fucking crazy. We should do a deep dive on that one day.
That would be awesome.
For people that don't know, he was a guy that said he was contracted by the government to make domes, these deep underground military bases.
And, he's a geologist.
Yeah, he was a geologist. And supposedly they were excavating, I guess, and they stumbled across aliens that lived on the ground, and there was like a shootout, and shit happened, and look into him. Bill Schneider, and they suicided him. But
he had a bunch of scars to back up his story too, that he like stumbled upon an alien battle between like Green Beret and fucking aliens underground, and yeah, nutty.
He's an interesting one. But what you said there, though, have you thought about the ramifications to that? Because the Phil Schneider story came out when? 90s? Early 2000s? That's way before anybody.
I used to laugh at that shit when I was like balls deep in aliens. I was like, oh, the fucking idiot Christians. Like, everything's a demon. Like, oh, that's so fucking stupid.
But the ramifications of that now are when Phil Schneider said that, or whoever said that, I take it was, you know, back then too, no one was talking about these beings, these aliens, whatever they are, these entities. No one was talking about them being angels and demons. Like they are now. That's huge talk now. That's like what they really think is going on. However, you have Phil Schneider telling us this 20, 25 years ago. So that just, to me, that lends to his credibility, you know?
That they didn't like to hear the word Jesus.
Right. Exactly. I mean, think about that. If you're fucked. Making a story up, okay, if I used to be a heroin addict for 15 years, dude, heroin addicts are some of the best liars and manipulators. We can come up with some shit, okay? I would have never thought to, like, put, oh, yeah, and guess what? If you're around them, if you say Jesus Christ, they get all weird. Like,
right?
Like that detail, that's one that really makes me fucking wonder. Like, yeah,
same.
Whew, that's scary.
That was triggered a whole, like, perspective shift for me. And something else is, like I said, I used to kind of like scoff at Christianity or laugh. Like I thought I knew all the truth stuff and like the, you know, conspiracy community. I just didn't have that aspect. I was like, oh, that's fucking retarded, you know. But then you realize like, well, Phil Schneider or Bill Cooper, all these dudes, like these fucking badass dudes that we take the information from. They all fucking love Jesus. I'm all like, why are these guys like Bible heads? Like what? Like, and I would just ignore that part and like take all the rest of their info. But the shit that they learned led them to believe in that. And you know who else is, like you mentioned, some good liars. Who else are fucking good liars? Nazis and Freemasons. And I got the fucking picture. So here we go. The Earth is orbiting around the sun at 66,600 miles. So 66600 miles per hour. And then the tilt of the Earth is apparently a 23-degree angle, like that the axis is tilted. So then if you take let's say you got a right angle, like a whatever that fucking tool for measuring angles is. I can't remember what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about. Like it's the tool, like if you're going to measure.
You're talking about a square.
Not necessarily a square because like the square is fixed. Like, you know, it's like a right angle. So say it is the square and then there's a little handle in the middle where you can tip it.
Okay. Yeah. So you're talking
about. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I can't remember what the fuck
like
it's called.
Like a protractor almost.
Kinda. It's like for observing like the angle of something up in the sky or whatever.
Oh, isn't that that's what they used on the a sextant.
I think that is probably what it is. Let me see. Sextant, let me look it up.
Isn't that what they use on like on the seas to navigate the ship, I think. Was like a celestial instrument that they used.
Essentially, yeah. I mean it's similar to that, yeah, where it creates the angle. So if you take the angle that they give the Earth, the 23-degree angle, what you have left over, so it's 23.4. What you have left over out of that is 66.6 degrees. Come that's on. The angle that's left. I know. That's a Masonic country, dude. 66, 666 100,000 miles per hour. Well, 66,600 miles per hour rotating. And then the angle that we are left with when you account for the tilt is 66.6 degrees.
See,
that's amazing country.
See, that's another one of those things where I'm like, okay, are they that good? Or is that just a case of people looking into things again way too hard to find coincidences? Because, you know, someone could say, a naysayer could just say, well, why didn't they just fucking lie and say it was 66.6 degrees? Why are they gonna, you know, you gotta subtract to get to it? It's like, but at the same time, I see it both ways. But I mean, dude, come on. I mean, how guess many coincidences can there be?
Yeah, that ain't no fucking coincidence. Guess what the curvature of 1 square mile is? You can guess.
Is it 6,000 or, I don't know, 600 feet?
666 feet.
Come on.
The curvature of the Earth, according to the math of the curvature of 1 square mile, is 666 feet.
Okay, but who came up with the unit of measurement, though?
I don't know. Who's the people that tell us that it's, you know,
they would have to be Freemasons, curved at
X amount of feet. Well, the people who give us all of our cosmology is fucking NASA, which is comprised largely of Masons. And
what that wouldn't have anything to do with
this fucking 666 shit.
But that wouldn't have anything to do with NASA, though, right? Because like I don't know
exactly who proposed the, you know,
it's whoever, because
the curvature
saying.
Is like something that the flat earthers and the globers argue about all the time. Is like, you can measure it, you can measure the curve, you can account for the curvature. Like, no, you can't. You can see the horizon, but according to the curvature, at least what I'm reading in these sites and these pages, is that it's 666 square feet is like how they measure the fucking curve per square mile.
I will say that when you look into the numbers that they tell us, where like the curvature drop is supposed to be after X miles, like you were talking about, it doesn't quite add up to my pigeon mind. You know, there is some smart people. You know, there is engineers, there are pilots. You know who Owen Benjamin is?
Yeah, comedian.
Comedian, and he is a very smart guy. He's highly intelligent, and he's a flat earther. And his origin story was like all the others. He tried to debunk it, and he couldn't. And he's fucking super intelligent. And I love listening to him talk about this subject. Well, I do and I don't, because
he's funny as fuck.
He is, and he makes a lot of great points, but sometimes he just attacks, and it's like, okay, I get that, because I like to do that too, but that's not really a good way to win an argument or even persuade anybody. You know, but it is a good way, I guess, to get views, and that's ultimately what he's trying to do. But where I was going with that is, there are smart people that do believe the Earth is flat. It's not just stupid people. The majority might be. No, I'm just kidding. One thing that blows my fucking mind, if we do live on a ball, with landing a plane, now, if the Earth is spinning at X speed, it's rotating at ridiculous speeds, and the closer you get to the equator, the faster we're going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say you are trying to land a plane near the equator. How are you going to, if you're coming in from west to east, how are you ever going to catch the ball? Because if that thing's going so quick, Why couldn't you just jump up and just stay where you are and let the Earth come to you and then just drop down and get, you know?
I've thought that before too. Or like if you had a, say like a hummingbird or like a drone or something just floating, and say you fucking floated that shit for, I don't know, a few days straight. Is it going to stay right where it is, or is the Earth going to rotate under it?
Right.
Unless the, again, maybe we're retarded and someone can completely explain this to us, but does, within a certain range of the atmosphere, does everything just move with the ball, the Earth's rotation, according to science? Or like, is that what supposedly happens? Like, no, that doesn't work that way, you dumbass. Like, just because it's floating doesn't mean like the whole atmosphere and everything moves with it. But no, I've thought that as well. Like, if a drone or, yeah, a plane was just fucking hovering there, wouldn't it, when the Earth rotate under it, and it could just stay in its fixed spot, or like a hot air balloon or something, or maybe something that wasn't, you know, manipulated by the wind? I don't know.
I guess their argument for that is that you never leave the atmosphere, and the atmosphere is traveling at the same speed as the Earth. So,
like it's attached.
Right. Just think of it like it's attached. So for that to work, is we would have to, if we were able to just go straight up and break through the atmosphere, be in low Earth orbit, and then come down. That would work, is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the argument to that. But it's like, again, I don't know. Is it just my pigeon brain, or it kind of seems like there might be, I don't know. You know, I don't fucking know.
Have you seen that most satellites are attached to balloons? Like, they've seen so many satellites that are attached to balloons that NASA consumes, like, more helium than anyone. People think that all the fucking space stuff is filmed under water. Like, there's a training facility in, I believe, Texas, where the astronauts have, like, a mock space station in a giant pool. And they're like, oh, the underwater mimics outer space conditions, so we train underwater.
Yeah.
What if they're just fucking filming all their shit there? Because there's dudes who are like super dedicated to this shit that film, like, I think it's Hibbler Productions is like a big flat earth thing. So maybe we could get him on here. I feel like he would come on here. Hibbler is a big name when it comes to this. And he's been on Eddie Bravo show and shit. He's got some good documentaries, but he's pointed out like bubbles in the fucking astronaut videos, or like,
oh yeah, I've seen those.
Wires and stuff holding them up, and just ways that they're faking stuff. So like, and then people be like, well, they're just filming that shit, but like, why would they be faking it then, unless they can't actually do it?
I've seen a lot of what you're talking about. Personally, what I believe is that they're in low Earth orbit. I believe we can get to low Earth orbit. I don't believe that's faked. I believe that they're really out there, and that's possible. Just like in Bart Sobrell's film, how they showed how they were faking that they were in Earth orbit. So that's I believe, the limit of actual human physical presence. I believe we can send technology farther. You know, I believe we've sent drones to the moon, Mars, and supposedly there's a new, well, it's not new. I guess we launched this four or five years ago. It is essentially like a drone / little space capsule. I was listening to Neil No Class Tyson talk about this,
and he's a
fraud.
Or not Neil. Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's a fucking dork, dude.
Yeah, Neil No Class. He's
a dork.
Yeah, I can't stand him. He's a fucking scumbag. But what he had said something, and I looked it up, and supposedly it is accurate. But it's really cool what he was explaining, and it's essentially like this little space capsule type thing. It's like a drone that has an arm on it, and it's like a little robotic arm. And as it's passing different asteroids, it can literally grab samples, and then it can capsule and package them and ship them to the state, to the states, to Earth. It just supposedly passed an asteroid, grabbed like 2 pounds of debris and rock, and it's on the way back here to Earth. And I just think, that is fucking cool, man. And if that is what we're really doing, and I believe that is what we are doing. I believe that is totally within the possibility of human capability and technology. I think it's totally appropriate. And I just think that's fucking, dude, think about that. Like, that's incredible.
That it's crazy.
You know,
what we talked about, though, with like the hovering, though, if we're actually out of the orbit with like these, you know, drones or satellites or whatever the fuck, like these little ships and pods, then what we were talking about would be an account, because then that thing left the atmosphere. When it comes back down, like, they would have to like perfectly time the way the Earth is fucking spinning to get it back to where we want it to, unless they're like, all right, it's just going to land wherever the fuck. Like, it might land in fucking Afghanistan. It might land in the ocean. It might land in fucking Brazil. Like, we'll just get it where it is. Or they'd fucking do the math perfectly to like, all right, when the Earth is spinning at this exact point, we're going to have it enter the atmosphere and come fucking flying down and land directly where we want it to. So like, what we were talking about then would apply. And
there's like GPS coordinates on it, so
yeah,
it allows it to get within like, say, 100 miles of its target or something like that.
I could see that, again, to play towards the firmament or the fixed thing. Some people have claimed that we just can't get anything out there. Like, we can't send anything out there. We can't go there. Like, we can't get outside of this hard fucking dome, and that we've tried to like nuke it or like blast it with a fucking rocket or try to break it and get through it and see what happens, and we can't get through. Who the fuck knows, dude? But yeah, I don't think we went to the moon. I think Bart thinks we are on a ball, though. Like, most flat earthers use Bart's work to say that it is a flat earth. Like, they draw the conclusion, well, we can't leave, we can't go to the moon. Well, we can't go to the moon, which means we can't leave, which means the earth is flat. Like, that's what they will usually go to. And I mean, yeah, I can't fucking Can't say one way or the other.
Yeah, I can't say one way or another either. One thing that studying philosophy taught me and then untaught me is, you know, when you start to get into like nihilism, that like nothing is real and nothing matters, and that's really close in my mind to, if I can't prove it, I don't believe it. Because I used to think about that a lot. And I think it's a really dangerous line of thinking. I think it's a fraudulent line of thinking, because I think people that say that, they really don't realize that they do. What you do? Do you believe in air? Because you're breathing it, or else you wouldn't be alive. You know what I mean? You can't see it. I can't prove to you it's there, other than if it wasn't, you'd be dead. But it's there. So if you're going to use that line of thinking, not that you are, I'm just saying for people that do, if people use that line of thinking, it's like, then what can you... You have to have some degree of faith. You know what I mean? And I think that's where religion comes in.
Yep. I was literally just about to say, because I had this conversation with friends today, and we were, you know, a little bit of debating / arguing, because, like I said, I've been more into faith lately and Jesus and God and religion and stuff like that. And it's not even like I'm being anti-science by any means, but yeah, when it comes to the Masonic institutions and shit like that and information that we're being fed and indoctrinated with from kids, yeah, I'm skeptical on a lot of that. But when we were kind of dealing with, you know, I was like, well, that is the point of faith. Like you believe something even though you can't necessarily prove it. And that was like one of the main talking points was that. And I was like, is it not faith to trust the history we're taught? Is it not faith to trust the academic world? Is it not faith to trust science? Like at some point it was literally just a guy or a consensus of guys being like, well, this is the commonly accepted thing that we believe, so that's what it is. So then we're just like, ah, yeah, all right, I can't prove it one way or another, but like I'm gonna have faith that that's what it is. Like it might not be as what you would call like blind faith, but like at the end of the day it is still fucking faith.
Yeah, dude, right on, preach. And I think about that too. It's like with same thing with language. It's like, okay, so a bunch of people got together and decided that fuck was a bad word. Okay,
that used to, yeah, that's just hilarious. But
sex isn't,
right? And poopoo isn't a bad word, but shit is,
right? Like that sound you make with your mouth, that is offensive, but that one over there, that's fine. I guess fuck was a bad example because that used to really stand for fornication under the crown king, so that you know, that's true. That actually is a bad example. But yeah, you know, there's certain words that everybody got together and agreed on, like, yeah, you can't say dick, but pee-pee is okay. You know, like, really? Come on, we're doing this? It's weird because people never second guess these things like you and I are talking about. It's just like, they just, well, I've never thought about it like that. Well, I've never really questioned it. It's like, really? Because I have from day one. It's like, from the time someone told me it was a bad word, I'm like, well, why? Like, did no one ask why? Right. What the fuck?
When I was a little kid, I had this exact same fucking thought pattern, and I definitely have a sailor's mouth, and cunt is one of my favorite words. Sorry to any female listeners who are offended by that, but I use it as a verb. I use it for males. I use it adjective. As an adjective, a compliment, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like if I say you're a brutal cunt, that means you're a cool guy. You're a badass person. I think you're, you know, you're cool.
That's very European of you.
If I say you're cunting me, you're giving me a hard time. You're bitching me out. Your old lady's cunting you. Oh, fuck. My boss is cunting me. Or you could use it like, oh, you fucking douchebag. Oh, you cunting douchebag. It's a versatile word as well.
It is. It is a versatile word. Have you ever heard George Carlin's bit on the word fuck?
No.
Oh.
Well, I probably have actually, but refresh me.
Oh, my God. Well, I cannot do it justice. But essentially, he just goes on to say how fuck is the most... It's the most versatile word in the English language because you can use it as an exclamation, fuck, as an adjective, she's fucking beautiful. He goes on to say all these different things, and he's like, you could use it as virtually every word in a sentence. Fuck that fucking fucker. It's like, he just goes on and uses that. He's a legend, bro. George Carlin, for anybody who isn't familiar with his work, he is so much more than a comedian. He was literally like a philosopher. I think he would have made
social
a great
commentator.
Leader. Oh, dude, right on. I mean, I think that's what comedy misses nowadays. I mean, people would argue that Joe Rogan is our social commentator, but there's a big difference between, and I'm a Joe Rogan fan, and I have been since the very beginning. However, there's a very big difference between Joe Rogan, who I think is a smart guy. I think George Carlin trumps him in every area. There's a big difference between the two, almost like they're not even competing in the same arena. So,
oh, yeah.
Like Rogan says, there's levels to it.
To go back to some profanity, not that it's anything cunt to be proud of, but I think I have come up with the equation for the best swearing sentence you could hit someone with, or a insult, or you know, phrase, and that would be bitch ass fucking shit cunt.
Why is that?
I just think that's the best combination. You hit all of them, and if you rearrange them in any other way, I just don't think it rolls off as good. So shit cunt is a hilarious thing. They say that in like Australia or Britain or Ireland or something, and it's just fucking hilarious, and it just sounds so stupid. So then bitch ass fucking shit cunt. That is top tier swearing in my book.
You are hitting a lot of the words there. Yeah, I can't think of it. You know, my first word was fucky.
No way.
Yeah, true story. So I never had a chance talking about fucking. Yeah,
you said what mine ironically was in relation to this episode. Ball.
Really?
Ball was my first word.
Wow. There you go. Do you have any Freemasons in your bloodline?
I don't think I do, honestly. I've got a lot of baseball players in my bloodline, and baseball is a Freemasonic invention. And baseball is basically designed as a Masonic ritual.
Really?
But yeah, dude, I come from a fucking, oh yeah, I come from a long line of baseball players. My grandpa, although this is, you know, when the baseball players had day jobs and shit, but my right. grandpa was on the Detroit Tigers.
Come on.
My dad was an All-American. Multiple of my uncles and cousins, all Americans, almost baseball. Like making the major leagues. Yeah. A distant cousin of mine was a pitcher for the Blue Jays.
Really?
Like, yeah.
So you come from a fucking bloodline, dude, like of athletes.
I sucked, though. I sucked. Yeah, I was so bad at baseball.
Yeah, but you sucked at baseball, but you're an elite fucking wrestler, so you're a world champion.
Wasn't always. I was okay in high school. I didn't do it year round though, like the best people did. Like I would go fucking fight in backyards or go fuck around with my metal band and shit. Like I was good. I was ranked highly, but I was a little bit, you know, stiff and not as mobile and fluid. I was kind of a fucking anxious nut. And if I couldn't just like bully people right away, I would, oh fuck. Like I'd start getting in my head, but I really wasn't like anywhere near what I am now. It took me a long time, and I wouldn't say I'm the most naturally athletic, like catching and throwing and shit like that. It's not my jam. So I didn't inherit that. But yes, I do have competitiveness in sports in my bloodline for sure. I just didn't get the fucking baseball one.
Before I forget, dude, two things. One, did you listen to the Josh Barnett episode? And if you did you hear it was towards the very end of the podcast? I noticed it because when I'm editing a podcast, like I hear any one given part of it at least a half dozen times, you know. But so I really heard this when Barnett is talking to you about wrestling.
Freestyle and Greco.
Yeah, and he's like, so I take it you did da-da-da-da, you know, da-da-da. And you're like, actually, no, I didn't do any of that. So, and then he goes, really? He was so surprised. You could hear it in his voice that he was so surprised that you are so good and got that good on your own. He was fucking, you could hear it in his voice. So I just wanted to.
I wasn't sure if he was surprised or disappointed or what, but I definitely took note of it even in the moment. But freestyle and Greco is like the Olympic styles. And like when you're growing up, that's only available in like the off season. And like I said, I just never really did it. It's different from like the like youth and like high school and college style of folk style wrestling here. And I just never competed in Greco or freestyle. Obviously throughout all the years now, I've taken influence from all those styles. I've trained just about any style of grappling or wrestling you can. I've just never competed under those rule sets. I've definitely really wanted to. And this actually is supposed to be the year that I am. Like I want to do the Irish Freestyle Wrestling Open. I want to do the US Freestyle Open and do Greco. But yeah, I just never got to compete in those styles, which would be very fun. But yeah, I did take note of that. He reacted to it for sure.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, you know, I can't let you say something like baseball is a Masonic fucking sport and just get off the hook. You got to fucking tell me more.
Right. All right. Well, a lot of the numbers have to do with Masonic, so I'll break it down to the best that I can. So obviously three, big number in baseball. 33 is the highest Masonic number. Mm-hmm. So you got three strikes, three outs. You got nine innings, which is, you know, three times three. There's 108 stitches on the baseball. And I think 108 is probably also a multiple of that. I can't remember exactly why that was significant because I fucking suck ass with math. But that's significant as well. And baseball diamond, like the diamond looks exactly like a square and compass. Like look at the infield. It's like, looks like it was drawn by a little square. And then if you look at it from like, say, center field, it's the Mason symbol. Like the out of bounds lines are like the top of the square. And then the bases is the, like the, you know, center field or not center, second base would be like the bottom of the square and the out of bounds lines would be the compass. So the
it does kind of look like an upside down protractor.
Oh yeah. It's a fucking Masonic field. You got the,
you know, I never realized like, that.
Right. Well, it was literally designed by Masons back in the day. Like that's a fact. Wow. And they think that the game is like a representation of like a Gnostic journey of the soul. Like the batter is like someone trying to go through, you know, the journey of life, and the pitcher is like God, if you will, and he's, you know, giving you challenges, and if you succeed and you knock the soul out of the park, if you will, you know, you clear the bases and you take anyone who was there with you to enlightenment or whatever. And
so what if you strike take out, steroids, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Is it like murdering like, somebody? Like
taking psychedelics here and getting a peek into the spirit realm. But the idea is that if you strike out or you go back to the dugout, reincarnation, you get your chance to come try again and relearn the lesson what and the get fuck? Enlightenment. But also that that baseball is the only sport without a time limit. So like the great American pastime, like every other sport has a clock that counts down. And like when time's up, time is up. Baseball ends when the fucking ritual ends. Like it can go endlessly.
Well, although like, they have made several rule changes recently to speed the game up, I will say.
Which is good because I hated watching it when the dude would fucking step out of the batting box every second, every pitch, and like fix his gloves and like get back in. And
baseball already hits so a foul ball. Like fucking,
it's
boring,
slow as fuck, dude.
It's like really watching is. Flies fuck, dude.
It's boring. It's painful. But what else? They say that the umps are like the high priests of the game. Like they're dressed in their uniform and they oversee the ritual to make sure everything goes accordingly.
Oh,
that you got everybody else in their uniform holding their ritual items, whether it's the glove or the bat, AKA the wand. And you got the fans, and what's the origin of fan? The fanatics that are there to like give their energy to the ritual and sing ritual songs, like take me out to the ball game, eat their ritual meals. And, you know, wear their little sigils of the team, like the little symbols of the team is logos is like the sigil.
Wow.
And I'm probably forgetting other stuff, but yeah, no, baseball is masonry for sure. Like it was made by Masons to have a fun little game that represented like their beliefs and shit. And
that's crazy.
Most of the greatest baseball players ever, a lot of them were Masons.
Wow.
It's fucking nuts, dude.
I didn't know most of that. 90% of that, I had no idea.
What made me go kind of fucking schizo crazy and lead to where I am now too is, so obviously there's the whole masonry thing with baseball and then my family with baseball and shit. And then I was reconstructing collar and elbow, you know, like being involved with all that. And while I'm designing the uniform, I was thinking like, we need some, like, so this dude who did the revival, Ruan McFadden, who he made the badass Celtic jackets and shit. And other than that, you know, everyone's just wearing like their own shorts and shit. And I'm like, we need some like pants for this. And in Ireland, they used to wear like tight knee length pants, almost like capri, like 3/4 pants. Cause it was so boggy and wet and shit. Like they didn't want their feet trailing in the grass. And then like you picture like old school wrestler, or old school boxer, you know what I mean? Like the knee length or like calf length pants, like tights. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that would look sick. Like that fits the aesthetic of Ireland historically. And just like, you know, old time pugilism, like fighting. I'm like, I should just get some like baseball or like football pants. And like, I'll stitch some like Celtic embroidery down the side of them and it'll look sick. And I have a bunch of pairs of them. And that's what we went with. Like I had my friend's mom help me stitch and I did a bunch by hand and I bought like a bunch of baseball pants to make the collar and elbow pants. And it does look pretty fucking badass. But then shortly after that, I found out about the Mason thing. And then I'm like, dude, what are the odds that I just, you know, I made Calrann Elbow slightly Masonic in a way through the ritual wear of Freemason baseball ritual. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. But then you got George Washington, Freemason, Calrann Elbow champion in the early colonies, Calrann Elbow being called square wrestling, which if you want to get that deep with it, the square and compass and just like the Gaelic and Irish connections and Scottish connections to masonry. You got fucking, like I said, George Washington, Freemason, Calrann Elbow champion. Now we're wearing the baseball pants. My family's a baseball lineage. Baseball's a fucking Masonic ritual. That was just a wild coincidence and stream of thought for me. And then, so what's funny is when I did go and win that world championship, I joked to my family, like just talking shit, because they're all like hyper competitive and sports obsessed, but again, mostly baseball. I'm like, oh, I'm the best athlete in the bloodline now. I'm the best one in the family. Like, you guys are all American or this or that, but I'm a world champion. But don't worry, I wore the baseball collar and elbow pants in the world championship when I won it. So I became a world champion in the baseball pants in a way to give a nod to my baseball fucking lineage. But it was really just because I wanted to wear the Irish collar and elbow pants and put Irish wrestling on the map. But in a way, I still put the Mason curse. So that's a very long answer to no. To my knowledge, I don't have any Masons in the family, but I got a lot of people who love the masonry of baseball.
Do you know what George Washington's dentures were made out of?
Ivory.
No. Well, I think you're partially right. I think they were made out of ivory, and then there was some that were made out of slave teeth.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense, actually.
I used to think they were wooden.
That's what they told us, but then they were like, actually, they were made of, like, ivory from, like, you know, like, rhinos or, like, elephants or, like, tusks or, like, you know, like, horse hooves or some shit like that.
Yeah, and I heard it, and then I looked it up, and it was slave teeth, and I think ivory, too. You're right. Do you think the slaves just volunteered? Like, pull my tooth. No, that shit fucker. And then he named them anesthesia, you know?
Well, everything to do with early America is subject to
fuckery.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I can't trust anything, dude. I feel like American history is either, you know, completely a lie in a way, like to the fucking most extreme ways that, like, it's way crazier than we could believe if you get into like the Tartaria or whatever, or the resets, or, you know, people being here already, whether it was like, you know, the Moors, a bunch of black people already here, and then say like, we got here, beat them, and then enslave them. And I shouldn't even say we, because I don't fucking, my ancestors were slaves too, the Irish, like, but I'm saying like Americans in quotes, or like white British European Americans. Like, some people think they came over here. There was already a civilization of Moors, which would have been like black dudes from Spain and like France and North Africa and shit. And they were kind of like a seafaring, like pirate race. And then, you know, the British colonists and stuff was like, fuck them, and like tried to beat their ass in warfare. And then, okay, you guys are our slaves now. And then instead of like, you know, if you're going to try and tell these people, like black Americans now, like, well, we took you guys from Africa and then we made you our slaves and then brought you over here. That sounds like a little bit more, I mean, it's still a shitty ass fucking story for them to hear. And like, well, damn, we got the shit end of the stick. But I think it would be even more shitty to them. And like, they'd be more angry if they realized, wait, this was our land. We were here. We already had a civilization established, and then they took it from us and then enslaved us. So I think that's an interesting ass theory. But then you also consider, okay, maybe it was a land that didn't have any, you know, civilization yet, other than so-called the Native Americans just doing their tribal thing or whatever. And we've talked to Mystic Mark about how maybe that's bullshit as well. But even then, let's say it was a land of opportunity and all this shit, since there was so much opportunity and so much, you know, room for fuckery to happen, it would make sense that Masons and secret societies and whatever could just come in and put themselves in power and, you know, make it corrupt from the fucking start. Like, there was just so much opportunity and, you know, opening for something like that to happen. So whether it's everything is a complete fabrication to the craziest degree, or it kind of went the way they told us, but it was still corrupt from the start. Either way, we're being fed some bullshit.
No doubt. A lot of interesting ways to look at it, you know, and I always find it interesting because there's always ways that I haven't looked at it yet. So that's what keeps it fun and interesting. And that's why we do this. You know what I just thought of though? Like, literally, like, while you were talking, this thought popped into my head. So it was something that you said triggered this thought. I have my specific DNA, right? You have your specific DNA. Mine's made up of X amount of Scottish, X amount of Italian, Irish, da-da-da-da, right? Now, if past lives are real or reincarnation's real, in my next life, will I have the same exact DNA? Or in my past life, have I had the same DNA? Or does my DNA change with each life? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've wondered that too. Like, because, I mean, I get into, you know, I guess if you want to say some trippy, hippie fucking shit where I feel, you know, connected to my ancestry and to my ancestors. And maybe if that is real, that, you know, they live through us or we're reincarnating in our own bloodline and shit like that. Or who knows, maybe if reincarnation is real, you're just completely fucking different. Maybe you were a black dude. Maybe you were a Chinese lady. Maybe you were a fucking ancient Aztec. Maybe you were a fucking bird. Who the fuck knows? Like, it is interesting, but I feel like, I don't know, there's probably something to do with your bloodline and your ancestry. Like, at least I think there's a lot of power in it. Yeah, that sounds brutal. And that made me think of something that I heard on, I don't know, one of the many podcasts that I enjoy, or maybe fucking some YouTube channel or something, that the idea of NPCs among us, that there's only a certain amount of souls that, you know, get recycled or get brought back into the earth. And there's been so many people being born in like the past like couple decades and couple hundred years and shit, that there's people being born without souls, and that there's literal NPCs. And I don't want to dehumanize anyone or, you know, make it like that, like, oh, these people are lesser or anything like that. And maybe they are important, that we need, just like a video game, that we need some fucking background characters and shit. And yeah, I can't remember exactly who it was or the context, but I just remember that stuck with me. I was like, that's a crazy thought. Like, if there was a finite number of souls that are being recycled or can be present on Earth at one time, and we keep reproducing, that there's there's empty avatars being born. And then that's scary to think, what could be taking the place in those avatars? Could some fucking entities be easily taken over these NPCs? Is every fucking world leader an NPC then? That's just fucking host to a demon or an ancient entity?
When you were younger, did you used to think that, okay, because when I was younger, I used to think like that everything around me, yeah, like here's my mom and here's my best friend at school, but when they're not around me, their life doesn't really exist. Like, I'm like, I thought, yeah, I was crazy. Like, I thought I was like the actor in like my story. And not that things weren't real, but just that like things, like I was like the main character. It was I don't know, did you feel like that too?
Yeah, and it would be like, I don't know, when you're at school or you're at church or you're driving and you see someone else in their car or something, and you're like, holy fuck, this person has their own whole like internal monologue and like worries and concerns and like their life, and they're going home to their family, or they're like, oh, my fucking job, my taxes, this, that, like, oh, like literally, like that is just a trippy thought,
right? What is that?
Like, what exists outside of our mind?
All right, well, stay away from pedophiles.